Trying to produce high quality content as a business owner probably seems impossible right now with how busy you are. You probably have ideas, but you're burnt out and you just don't have the time, resources, or manpower to actually create ongoing high quality content. Freelancers are undependable, the employees you can afford are inexperienced, and agencies are way too expensive. So what's the solution? Breezy Content is a subscription that matches you with your very own content marketing team that will do everything from the strategy and planning of content to the writing, designing, and publishing of it. We handle everything from social media content to blog writing, SEO friendly content for your website, and even lead generation pieces. We have multiple research methodologies that we use, including interviews, questionnaires, and more, to make sure that all of the content that we create for you is custom, high quality, and will actually move the needle for your business. Don't believe me? I get it. See what our real customers are saying. If you're interested in learning more, book a call today. To learn how to create ongoing content when you don't have time to, visit makecontent.today for our free guide.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
I'm interested now in 2024, what's on your watch list now as far as real estate investing? What do you think are good places to invest in?
Well, I like Boston. Because it's, I like markets, and I think this is important for people when they think about investments. What you want to be is in markets where there's supply constrained, there are multiple demand generators, meaning there's buyers, renters, you know, et cetera, in those markets, that the job base is and the employment opportunities are more broad. And so you look in places like Boston, good infrastructure, high barriers to entry, good, you know, a strong educational environment and a growing population. I like New York because I think it's opportunistic. I think New York is down big time. It'll go down a bit more, but it's now beginning to be a time to buy. And in real estate, my view is that you make your money on the buy when you buy it. You make a good decision to buy it, and then you realize your profit when you sell it. But right now in New York, you can buy properties that are like office buildings or retail, you can buy them at 40% off. And so in those kind of circumstances, all you have to do is make an investment. And then as the market stabilizes and recovers, then you're going to be up a significant amount. Washington, D.C., down office buildings and residential are down big time, but office buildings are down 50%. So I like that because there's a lot of upsides. The nation's capital is the most powerful nation in the world. It was not going to fail. And if it did, then money won't be worth anything anyway. And then you start looking at Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta is a great city, always has been. It's a global city. It's the number one filming location outside of Hollywood. And so it is dominating in that space and will continue to do that. You've got great, you know, wealth generating opportunities. It's a diverse economy, and you have amongst the most affluent African Americans in the country. So we like Atlanta. We think there's a lot of runway there. And then Charlotte, North Carolina, always underrated. It's kind of a combination of Atlanta, New York, D.C. It's now the second largest banking capital of the world, of the country rather. New York's number one. San Francisco had always been number two, but because of its problems, the industry has moved out. Charlotte's now the number two banking center. Diverse community led by a black mayor, chairperson of the county commission, African-American man, and are pro-business and pro-economic inclusion. And there's lots of opportunities there. It's a very rapidly growing city. So I like Charlotte. And then Miami and South Florida are on fire. Miami's on fire. I think Miami's got to run because it's building itself into the global center of the country. At some point, it'll be what New York was in its heyday. And then I think that San Francisco and LA present tremendous buying opportunities because they're severely depressed and you don't have to build. You just can buy, invest, and hold, and then realize profits as things turn around, and they will turn around. So those are the markets that we like the most. And I like Texas. I do like Texas.
Let me ask you this about Miami, even from my own personal knowledge base. Would you think that right now is a good time? Because it's just prices are just going up, right? Everybody's paying over asking. Like, let's say I was looking to buy a place in Miami right now. Should I wait for a correction or buy even though it's overpriced because it's still going to just continue to go up?
I don't think you see much of a correction in Miami. I think what you'll see is a slowdown in Miami. It would take a global financial crisis that to depress Miami now. Miami's got so much wind in its sails right now. And it is desirable for, it's got great fundamentals, good quality of life, but no state income tax, very pro-business environment, multicultural. So it's got a lot going for it. So the way you invest in Miami is you look for anomalies. So for example, Miami Beach, we're studying this right now. So Miami Beach before the pandemic, Miami, Northeasterners would look at Miami as a vacation location. So you'd have a second home, weekend home, come down and spend the weekend in Miami and then go back up to New York and work and earn your money. So being on the ocean was the most important thing. So today in the marketplace, it would not be unusual to have an oceanfront condo selling for $3,000 a square foot. Across the street on the intercoastal, you could find something that was selling for $500 a square foot. And so that, so yeah, the ocean's worth more, but is it worth six times? No, maybe it's worth three times. So there's runway there. And then also this market in Miami pays an absurd premium for new, unlike say DC or New York or Boston, older buildings are a normal thing. They don't depreciate because the cost to build new goes up, but they don't, there's not this big premium. In Miami, there is. So a new building could sell for 3,000. For example, now, new buildings are selling for 4,500 a square foot or more on the ocean in Miami Beach. You can find a building that was built in 2005 and it could sell for $2,000 a square foot. So same ocean, same views. The building built in 2005 is in excellent condition. And yet, and somebody's going to pay 2.5 times more to be in the new building, which 3 years from now will be treated just like the 2005 building. So those anomalies is how you buy in Miami. And then the other thing you can do is you can look at locations, emerging locations that are but more hot locations. So, you know, if you're looking at Wynwood or the Design District or Midtown, you just go a little bit further west. And I think there's opportunity there. And there's tremendous opportunity in an historically black community called Overtown, which is where, you know, Sammy Davis Jr., when he was performing on Miami Beach, had to stay, where Muhammad Ali, when he beat Sonny Liston for the championship, he had to stay in Overtown because it was of segregation. That community is severely undervalued, and there's opportunity there too.
I'm convinced. I'm coming to Florida. You convinced me.